Good morning from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church in beautiful Silver Hill, Alabama, and welcome to our Sunday morning worship encouragement, God's Loving Kindness in the Morning. Let's begin with Martin Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me through the night from all harm and danger. I pray that you would keep me this day from all sin and evil, that in all my thoughts and words and deeds I may serve and please you. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all that is mine. Let your holy angels be with me, that the evil one may have no power over me. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is in his holy temple. His throne is in heaven. The Lord is near to all who are of a humble and a contrite spirit. He hears the requests of the penitent and listens to their prayers. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to his throne of grace and confess our sins. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, I have sinned and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blameless when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Lutherans subscribe to the great confessions of faith of the early church. God has not changed, and our faith remains firm in the teachings of the Bible. That's why we often share what is called the Apostles' Creed in our weekly worship. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, let's pray together as we ready our hearts for today's Bible reading. Gracious Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to the earth and sharing your good news of salvation for mankind. Open your holy word to us this morning. Along with our Heavenly Father and your Holy Spirit, minister to our hearts and nurture us in your word. Amen. Have you ever been to a dig, an archaeological site where scholars are trying to reconstruct the past? We have numbers of places in our country where people are digging up old bones to rediscover the life of the past. They have dug up bones of prehistoric people and animals. It doesn't seem to matter to them as long as they find bones. In recent years, these scholars have become interested in DNA. Sometimes we can find DNA in old bones. DNA is the blueprint for life. RNA is the behavioral modification that takes place to customize that DNA to a particular lifestyle. You can't have life with just a piece of DNA. You need the whole blueprint. As a young child, do you remember finding a dead squirrel or a cat or a dog or possum or armadillo on the road? It might have looked like it was supposed to, but it had no life. Life is something extra that enlivens the DNA. We all know that. Life teaches us about that. Have you ever wondered what God wants us to know about living? Ezekiel and many Jewish people were exiles in Babylon, their homeland lost and dead to them. God gave Ezekiel a message for those who felt they were dead, lost forever from the promises of God. Here's how the book of Ezekiel describes what happened. It's Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord came upon me, Ezekiel says, and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. Indeed, they were very dry. That is, these are not even freshly dead bones. Dry bones are really dead. There is nothing you or I can do with dead, dry bones. Ezekiel continues, and God said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. You see, Ezekiel was no dummy. You can't tell God what you don't know. You and I could learn a thing or two in that regard if you listen to us praying sometimes. So, God is talking, and we pick up in verse 4. Again, God said to me, prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you, and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. That is, God says that he will bring life where there is only the shell of life. He will bring life from death. Sounds like this lesson fits in with the last Sunday of the Easter season, doesn't it? So what does Ezekiel do? He tells us, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Things are looking a lot like roadkill at this point. Just because you have flesh and blood does not mean that you have life. But God isn't done yet. Ezekiel continues. Also God said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. The command of God has brought life. The DNA and the RNA of these bones has been restored, and, big and here, life has re-entered the dead bodies. What could these restored dead and dry bones possibly mean? Remember, Ezekiel is among the captives in Babylon, at least 600 miles away from home, and no hope of returning home. God explains in verse 11, then God said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They, the captive people of Israel in Babylon, indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Our Heavenly Father is promising new life for the old dead. Why would God choose to restore complaining and bitter people? At this point, Ezekiel is quoting God, verse 13. Then, God says, when I restore you, you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. It is one thing to bring people from the grave. The scientists that dig up old bones dig up remnants of the past. They attempt to recover DNA, but there's no life. There is just death if you dig up old bones and old graves. Nothing more. You need more than bones to have life. It is at this point that God explains why dead bones can live. Verse 14. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. That is, life comes from God. You have to have God's spirit to live. As Christians, we understand that accepting the work of Jesus Christ brings the Holy Spirit directly into us, the Holy Spirit dwelling with our spirit right within us. The Bible explains several things that help us understand renewed life. God provides it. It is possible because the price has been paid for renewal. It is the blood of Christ shed on the cross of Calvary. The Jewish people were not entitled to new life off there in Babylon. You and I and the whole world are not entitled to new life. But God has revealed through the Lord Jesus and through the prophets that new life is a gift. Jesus Christ was the first one raised from the dead. The Bible tells us that he was the first among his human brothers and sisters. Jesus told his disciples that he was going to Jerusalem for Easter, but that he had to die on Good Friday. He had to die to pay the price for our entry into eternity through the resurrection of the dead. Jesus Christ had to die to pay for the forgiveness of sins. There is no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. Jesus Christ shed his righteous blood for you and me, that our bones be not dry, but living with his own Spirit through the grace of our Heavenly Father. Have you got the hope of eternal life living in you this day? The Bible tells us that you can have the assurance of eternal life, just like Ezekiel's valley of dry bones. It starts by knowing that we miss the mark when it comes to God's expectations. We say that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Our human DNA needs work. It is tainted from the time of the first sin in the Garden of Eden. But Jesus Christ can remake our spiritual DNA when we are sorry for our sins and ask for his renewal in our lives. When we ask his blood to cover our sins, we can ask God to give us his Holy Spirit because we want to live with Jesus in a right relationship with him. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I am sorry for the life I have been leading and the sin in my life. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me and come into my life and give me your very Holy Spirit to remake me into a person who knows and loves you. Amen. As we end our time together, let us join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, please join us for worship this morning at 10 a.m. if you can. Zion Lutheran Church is a liturgical traditional Lutheran church located in Silver Hill on the corner of 4th Avenue and 7th Street. We are one block south of State Highway 104 and two blocks west of Highway 55. If you find the Silver Hill Library landmark, you are just a block away. Look for our signs. Want more information about our Lutheran Fellowship? Come to our website, www.lutheransinsilverhill.com, or give us a call at 945-5209. May God bless you in your spiritual walk this week, and don't forget to catch God's loving kindness in the morning next Sunday, same time and same place on your radio dial. Have you got a child going into the first to sixth grades? We will have a day camp Bible school running from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the afternoon the week of June 14 through 19. Give us a call at 945-1076 for information. We are limited to only 50 children, so first registered, first enrolled. God bless you. Have you got a Bible? No? Give us a call at 945-1076 for a complimentary paperback New King James Version Bible. Have you had the opportunity to bless a child in India or in Baldwin County? Zion Lutheran Church understands that the Holy Spirit brings people together within the body of Christ to accomplish His will. We have two mission projects that perhaps the Holy Spirit might plant on your heart. The first project relates to the Dalit children in Cherala. We used to call the Dalit people the Untouchables. Children are the hope of the Indian church in many ways, but the Dalits are out of the education loop in India. St. Paul's Lutheran Public School in Cherala, Andhra Pradesh, India, can use our help for Dalit education. The second potential project relates to you if you live north of I-10 and south of I-65 in Baldwin County. We at Zion believe that the Lord wants to establish a Lutheran fellowship in this area. If the Lord lays the needs of the Dalit children on your heart, or if you desire to be part of a Lutheran fellowship in North Baldwin, please call us at 945-5209.